In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God sends His grace to you, His mercy and peace to you, because you have been baptized into His family and you wear the name of the Triune God. God claims you as His own, and He bestows upon you gifts of healing, gifts of peace, gifts of forgiveness when you sin, and the wonderful gift of life eternal, and the promise of the resurrection on the last day. When Jesus and His disciples behold the temple, as they enter Jerusalem during His last week on earth, during what we call Holy Week, the disciples were really struck by the majesty of the temple. In Matthew, they say, "Look, Lord, what majestic buildings." And Jesus replies, much as in today's gospel reading from Luke, "Do you see these buildings? Behold, there will come a day when not one stone will be upon another." Or as Luke puts it, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." At this point, Jesus' disciples ask Him a question. "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" It's a two-part question, and Jesus answers both parts of it in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and in this, the 21st chapter of Matthew. The first question is asking, "What about this temple, O Lord? This temple that's so marvelous, this temple in which God dwells, this temple from which the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the priestly caste who plotted against our Lord Jesus and engineered His crucifixion by paying Judas to betray Him for 30 pieces of silver. The temple was the center of the Hebrew nation. There God dwelt. Between the horns on the Ark of the Covenant. The problem is the Ark of the Covenant was no longer there, but still was the Holy of Holies, the holy place where the priest went in on the Day of Atonement with the blood of sacrifice. The Jewish people were proud of the temple. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world. If we would see it, we would stand with our mouths agape at the beauty and again at the majesty. They could not imagine a time when the temple would not be there, even though that temple had been destroyed once. They could not imagine a time when the city of Jerusalem would not dwell in prosperity, even though Jerusalem had been overrun some 6 centuries before and the people carried off to exile in Babylon. These things were permanent, they thought. How could they possibly be destroyed? How could they possibly fade away? Well, they did. Just as the things we have in life can easily be destroyed and will eventually fade away, even if we fade away first. The car you drive, you probably won't be driving in 20 years. I'm quite sure that I won't be driving the car I now have in 20 years because I'll have assumed a horizontal position. The clothing we wear, it goes out of style. It wears out. The houses we live in. My parents built their last home in the 70s, and my goodness, the colors, the 70 colors. They had this long shag carpet that was red and orange and green and brown, and I always said it looked like a Chinese dinner that someone had thrown up on the sidewalk. Fortunately, that style has gone out, I think. These are little things, but even the big things we have will disappear. Our bodies will cease functioning one day and will be placed into the heart of the earth. Teacher, when will these things be? What will be the signs when these things are about to take place? Jesus answers the first question in today's gospel reading. He says, first, a warning. Hey, see that you are not led astray by false prophets, false Christs. Because many will come in my name saying, I'm he, I'm the one you're waiting for, I'm the Messiah. And the time is at hand. During my lifetime, I can think of at least 6 times when someone predicted the end of the world. And if the world ended, you know, I must have slept, because I didn't notice it. Do not go after them, Jesus says. Do not go after false prophets, false teachers, false Christs. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why it is proclaimed that we may know the true Christ, the one who is God in flesh, in human nature. That's why we have the creeds, so we can watch out, so we will not be deceived. How many of you think that there are more wars than there used to be? Yeah, you're wrong. Sorry. We just hear about more wars because CNN, MSNBC, Fox report on these what are actually seemingly minor conflicts in far away places. You will hear, when you hear of wars and tumults, Jesus says, don't be terrified, for these things must first take place. And they've been taking place since Cain killed Abel. The end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Well, we still have famines. We still have earthquakes. Nations still rise against other nations. The end is not yet. But before all this, Jesus says, and here he's speaking explicitly of the destruction of the temple and its aftermath. In 70 AD, But before all this, they will lay their hands on you, my disciples. They will persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This is your opportunity. Not your opportunity to cower in fear, not your opportunity to renounce the faith. This will be your opportunity to bear witness of the Christ and of what he has done for the whole world by his death and resurrection. I've always been puzzled about this. Next verse, settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. I think that's talking about those who know the scriptures, who know them so well that they can quote the scriptures in the appropriate places at the appropriate time for the appropriate circumstance. This is why you and I need to be students of the word of life in Christ Jesus, the entirety of the word of God. Jesus goes on, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your steadfastness you will gain your lives. And again, we read in Acts how the disciples were delivered up, were persecuted, how the Christians in Jerusalem had to flee following the stoning of Stephen. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. By your steadfastness in the faith, the strong continuation of your trust in Christ Jesus as your Savior. Now Jesus flips back here to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter Jerusalem, for these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written in the scriptures. All the way back to Deuteronomy, the Lord told through Moses the penalties that would fall Israel for its unfaithfulness to the covenant God had made with them. And those things were fulfilled. They were not things that I'm going to talk about from this pulpit. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem, the lovely holy city, will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is ended. Christians in Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside did flee to a secure place when they saw the Roman armies assembling. And the name escapes me. Is it Perea? That doesn't sound right. I'll look that up when I get home. After this, Jesus moves into signs of the end of the age. Signs in sun and moon and stars. On the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. I don't know your opinion of climate change. I'm not going to tell my opinion right now. But isn't it odd that people are terrified about the prospect of climate change? Oh, if we don't do something in 12 years, there won't be any human life on planet Earth. I don't agree with that, but these people are filled with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud of God's glory. The cloud which is the manifestation, the epiphany of the presence of God. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, it says. I don't like that. My dad used to tell me, straighten up and fly right. Yeah. Stand up tall would be better. And lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption in Christ Jesus. The fulfillment of the promises made to you in baptism, the promises made to you when you were confirmed, the promises made to you as you commune at the Lord's altar. Do not expect to find redemption in anything that is of this world. Do not expect to find redemption in any government, in any political party, in any leader of any kind. Put not your trust in princes. Don't trust in a mere son of man, which means a mere human. May your trust, dear friends, be in Christ Jesus alone. Because Jesus makes some promises. The angel Gabriel made some promises to Mary when he was announcing Jesus' conception. He will reign over the throne of his father David forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never, the mercy pass away, the word forever. Built on the rock, we sang in the first hymn, and that rock is Christ. Built on the rock, the church shall stand, even though earthly steeples are falling. Because the church is not a building. The church is not comprised of comfortable seats or a pulpit or even an altar. A pastor can preach and teach from anywhere. The church can meet anywhere. The sacrament of Holy Communion can be celebrated anywhere. And this is why the church will stand even though kingdoms are falling. And this is why you who are of the Holy Christian Church should stand firm in the Word of God, receiving the sacraments regularly. It's for you. It's for the benefit of your faith. It's so the promises of God made to you in baptism will most assuredly be fulfilled, come hell or high water. It's taken care of. The Lord God, the triune God, has and will take care of it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.